Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Just a quick reminder as we start, everything that we talk about on this podcast is really in reference to the five levels of leadership. If you would like to learn more about the five levels of leadership or even perhaps bring a five levels of leadership workshop to your organization, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And in addition, even if you have a question or you'd love to leave a comment for Perry and I, we would love to see that and address that on a future podcast. Well, as we kick off, you guys know I love to kind of give Perry a hard time about the titles, but we're gonna talk about this on another podcast. It's key to our success. That's right. This is pretty tame. Yeah, this is pretty tame. But today's topic is titled "A Leader's Secret Weapon: Developing Your Team." Yep. And what I love about this is this is really kind of a level four mindset. This is that right. In the five levels framework, this is a level four mindset. Talk to us a little bit about this title and what we're going to accomplish today.
Well, yeah, I just find that personal and team development really is a secret weapon because many leaders think they don't have time. It's an investment, a time investment that you're making. And, you know, I always laugh because Stephen Covey once asked somebody in the audience about sharpening the saw, and they said, oh, it just takes so much time. He said, have you ever not had time or been too busy to stop your car to get gas? And everybody kind of snickers, but truly it really falls in the important but not urgent quadrant that can easily be overlooked, I think, by most leaders. And those urgencies of life, the urgencies of business, overshadow a lot of what we know is important that we should be doing, but we get caught in the urgent part. So what we're talking about here is really, to me, for my team and for me personally, is like gas to my car, that I go further without it. And without it, without developing me, without developing my team, we're going to run out of gas. We're going to stop.
Well, and I think what you said there, the second half of what you said, is really important. I think we talk a lot about on this podcast and everything that John does about developing yourself as a leader. And today we're going to shift a little bit about and talk about this level four mindset of developing your team. I was on a call yesterday with an organization that we're partnering with out of Texas, and one of their key leaders had just gone through the Maxwell Leadership Assessment, mm-hmm. which is a traditional 360 assessment that kind of maps into the five levels. And incredible scores, incredible leader. He's had tenure. He's got he's got the people. He's got the respect. He's producing. And at the end of it, some of the comments were really about, "Hey, man, I really wish he would focus on developing me for that next opportunity, like developing where I need to be developed, not necessarily where he kind of wants to go." And we had a great conversation over him having that mindset of he's such a guy with personal growth that it's like, "Hey, I'm growing in this area here, team. You need to grow in this area too," which is a different mindset than what we want to talk about today and the importance of actually developing your team. So when we talk about this, we're going to dive into obviously some of John's content, but there is there's a difference between training, equipping, and developing someone. Yeah. So let's just start right here at the foundation of this. And when we talk about training, really we're talking about, you know, what jobs need to be done? What skill set do you need for that job? And you're really kind of teaching skills. When we talk about equipping, you know, it's how do we do the job better? What tools do I need to provide to you as one of my team members in order to do the job a little bit better? And then we're going to talk about developing, which is where our heart is, where our sweet spot is. And that is, it's really not even around job related, but rather about personal and organizational growth of your team member. What does that look like? What's the future need of that individual in your organization? And what you want to do is really improve the way that they feel, they think, and then they behave ultimately. So that's kind of the foundation of what I wanted to set today before we dive into this.
Well, one thing I learned over the years, and we teach it often now, especially through five levels, is that you're not leading just the corporate person. So here at John Maxwell Company, you're not just leading the John Maxwell person, you're leading the whole person. And when you think about like you said, my my training is, you know, getting my skills up and equipping. What do I need to do the job? But development is about how to do life better and how to train the whole person. So not just the job aspects, but the personal aspects. So I know in the Five Levels workshop, John outlines in the content about 7 guidelines for people development. I thought we could just hit those kind of quickly to reveal what those are. And kind of hone in on the developing piece of that. But the first three, number one being recruiting. Of course, you want to make sure, as Jim Collins says in Good to Great, you have the right people on the bus.
That's
you want
right.
to recruit well.
That's right.
Number two was positioning, which means after you have them on the bus, are they in the right seat? And then modeling is really a great one, I think, for as a leader, are you showing the way? Because people are watching you. How often?
All the time.
Good. That was a test.
I'm yeah, sure that's right. That was that. Completely off the cuff. I had wide eyes. I was like, what are you talking about?
So, Elliot, recruiting, positioning, and modeling kind of gets you on the road to where you need to be developing.
Yeah, and of those three, it's interesting. All the organizational work that we do, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, it starts at recruiting. And we talk leaders about it is about modeling. We say leadership's an observation sport, right. both ways. But man, I see a lot of leaders that around the positioning just have the people in the wrong spots. They don't necessarily understand the person as a whole, how they're wired, their learned behaviors, their values, where their skill sets are. And so of those first three, that number two, their positioning always sticks out to me from some of the organizational work that we've done. So just make sure as you're thinking about your team, man, really challenge yourself to think about, is this the best position for that team member? John talks about then two more, number 4 and 5. He says, we talked a little bit about this as I kind of kicked off, equipping, which is, you know, the tools and about doing the job better. And then developing, which is obviously we talked about, maybe not necessarily job related. It could be, but it's really about the personal and the organizational growth right. through that team member. So you do a lot of training for organizations. You do a lot of the Five Levels and different on-site workshops. Talk a little bit about how do you teach this when you're on-site?
Yeah, so we talk about, we always dive in a little bit to equipping, which means you really have to do more than just simply tell people what to do. You need to show them. You know, John always says the three things they want to know about you is, can you help me? Do you care about me? Can I trust you? And
right.
that can you help me is often overlooked. Oh, yeah, I'm helping. Well, really, can you show them how to do it? So I love it. John laid out a five-step approach, which really helped me a lot because I found that I didn't want to just throw something to someone because generally they couldn't handle it, and then I ended up having to do it myself.
That's right.
Why not just do it myself
that's
to
right.
start with? That's not equipping.
That's my natural reaction too, okay. right? You're just like, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So John, it's kind of simple, but if you don't do it, I really started doing it, and it helped me was to start by, I do it. It was just the way it is kind of now. But then I do it with you when you're with me, so I'm kind of demonstrating for you. And then you do it. And I'm with you, so now I've stopped from demonstrating. Now I can be coaching a bit. And then you do it, which is empowering. I'm empowering you to go and do it. And then finally, you do it with someone else. Now you're reproducing. And I like that model because it gets it I start to increase or multiply, as some of our friends say, the capabilities of my team by walking them through, handing it slowly to them, by demonstrating it, walking with them, and then letting them go and do it.
You know, I thought about when I said I have kind of a natural reaction to do the same thing. Man, sometimes as leaders, we need to slow down in order to speed up, right, futuristically. And at times, I will naturally not necessarily want to slow down to have someone with me while I'm doing it. And at the end of the day, what it really pays off over time if I would just slow down from a kind of a development standpoint. Because here, listen, leaders, it's our responsibility to reproduce leaders in our organization under our influence, wherever that might be. It might be in your home. It might be in your community. It might be in your church. It might be, I'm not sure where, but it's our responsibility to get to that point. So we're talking about level 4. When do we begin to reproduce ourselves? And so we really kind of need to slow down to speed up. And you'll never be able to really grow the organization or even the results you're producing for the organization unless you begin growing the individuals
Absolutely.
That are on your team.
Absolutely. So that leads us to number 5 of the 7 guidelines for people development. And number 5 is developing. which means really, like you said, teaching them to do life well. I was wondering how you see that developing state. That's really where we're centered today.
Yeah, so let's talk, let's talk a little bit about developing, we'll say, younger people, right? So I guess that all depends on your age, but
was that directed at me?
Yeah, no, not at all. younger people coming up through your organization, you know, you will see weaknesses in their approach to people and some of their EQ habits, right. and what does that look like? And so what I did was I took developing and kind of broke it down even a little bit further. And so here's three words in regards to what kind of developing means to us as an organization, the John Maxwell Company, and something that we communicate through coaching and facilitating. Number one is assessing. So where they are when it comes to life skills, like try to make an assessment. Where are they? Are there obvious weaknesses, blind spots, or poor thinking? And one other one I would add to is, are there fatal flaws?
Right.
That, because there's a difference, I think, between a weakness and a fatal flaw. We can work with weaknesses, but when there's a fatal flaw, they may not be around very long. And right. So you owe that to them and be aware of that when you're assessing them. Second word is challenge. Let's challenge them to improve. We'll talk a little bit about this later, but you know, you think about some of the greatest leaders you ever worked for. At the end of the day, whether you liked it in the moment or not, they challenged you. And so what is it that you're challenging them to do? Read, attend conferences, new projects, whatever it might be. And then final word that we under here is support. Support them as they navigate life's difficulties, right? Be available, be encouraging, answer questions, follow up, speak to some of the actions that they took. What I try to do is I try to put myself back in their shoes,
right.
And remember when I was a youngin' at that time and coming up through there, what is it that I desired? What is it that I received? What didn't I receive that I wish I would have? And I try to put myself in that situation when it comes to developing the youngins on the team or others that are on my team.
Actually, I'm thinking of a person. I took over a senior leadership role, and one of the guys on the team was a great thinker. He had great ideas. He just had a very bad approach to communicating the ideas.
The delivery method.
Yeah, yeah. Delivery was right in your face bad. And so I decided, I assessed that. This was a career-limiting skill, that he could not present that in a positive way or even get people to buy in. So but he was right, and he knew he was right, and I knew he was right, but it didn't matter if you're right, if you can't communicate
that's
the
right.
way people hear it.
That's right.
I challenged him on your second point there to improve. Now, he pushed back. He said, I don't have a problem. They have a problem. I go, that's the problem. But I'm going to support you in this, and can I coach you and give you some insights? Took about 6 months, and he came back, I tried what you said, and I really am noticing a difference in the way people respond
that's
to me.
Awesome.
I go, yeah, isn't that kind of cool? So the final two, just to wrap that up, we don't want to leave people hanging with 5 out of 7, but those were number 6 was empowering, where you enable people to succeed and really release them to go do the work that you've hired them to do. And then, of course, number 7, measuring. Don't ever want to forget, we want to know how well they're doing now that they're empowered. Is how do we track that when we're doing that? So just wonder, as we start heading toward the wrap-up there, how do you see how these 7 levels all tie together, these 7 tasks in developing folks?
So as I kind of kicked off, you know, right after your title, the first thing that came to mind is this is really about reproducing leaders. This is really about increasing your level 4 influence. Not only will you see an effectiveness in your leadership, but you'll see an effectiveness in the development and the production results, that the team will have and what you guys are producing. It makes me think about the in the 21 Laws, John, the very first chapter of the Law of Lid. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen him teach it, you know, he stands on stage, right, and hits his hand over and over again. And he really talks about that, hey, listen, as leaders, you are the lid on your team and those that you have the privilege of having influence with. In the work that we get to do around the world, I take that illustration, and for me, when I look at the 5 levels model, there is a lid right above level 3 in all organizations. They get 1, they get 2 sometimes for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody gets 3. You got to produce, you got to have results in order to have a business, get a paycheck on Friday. And then there's just a lid right there. Mm-hmm. And I think where organizations really need to focus is on this you know, developing leaders, developing your team, and what does it look like? And so I really want to encourage you guys to think about, you know, where is your lid personally? But more importantly, today we're talking about developing your team. You know, where is the lid on your team in regards to the organization's goals, their vision, their mission? Where are you going? And are you the leader that's limiting the effectiveness and the efficiency of your organization by not developing your team?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I just was thinking about a limiting factor for many leaders, and John teaches this quite a bit, is that I think your ability to develop another human being has a lot to do with how you see them. And if you really value people and value them as an individual, you will have a natural bent, a desire to help them get better. And I just, John calls it putting a 10 on their head. Can you envision a better future for them? Liz Wiseman called it, can you see their unique intelligence, something that they do better than others on the team that you can help develop and bring them to the highest level? But I know that if you don't see people in a good light, if you don't value them as humans, you're going to have a really tough time developing them as professionals.
Yeah. So as we kind of wrap up, I'll give you three things that I thought about that I wrote down. We talk about, as leaders, you need to be able to see further than your team can see. You have to have a longer lens and view than your team. You got to be able to communicate that. And I would say that that's the same when it comes to belief. You have to have that 10 on people's head. Right. You have to have a higher belief than they do of themselves. And then you got to be able to communicate that to them in order to get everything out of them that they were created to get out of. It reminded me, I was with John and Urban Meyer, and we were doing an interview. We were at Mr. Hendricks' place up there, and it was really around sports and leadership and interview. And Urban Meyer said two things that I'll never forget. He said, "We are designed to pull greatness out of people."
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's a simple statement, but I was like, yeah, like, I mean, we're not called to just be average, nor is our team. And sometimes our team doesn't know that they can be great. And so we've got to pull that out of them. And then he says this, and you know, anybody that follows college football and knows Urban Meyer, I mean, he's a hard driver, right? But he said, man, you got to push him really hard, but love them really deep, you know? And so I thought those were really two good points. And then I'll close with this. We talk a lot about engagement, okay? And we say people will join your organization for one reason, but they're not going to stay for that same reason. So as leaders, what are you doing to continue to develop your people, to add value to your people, to keep them engaged? And I read this this data from the state of employee engagement from Q1. So it's Q1 of 2019, so it's pretty recent. And there's two things I want to share with you out of this. Now, listen, I'm tying this back to developing your people because this is going to drive engagement, okay? It says that 81% of those that are engaged in organizations, which the number is still really, really low. We've shared this before. About
80% of the 30%.
80% of the 30%. Yeah. Thank you for bringing us back to reality. The first job of a leader is to define reality. Thanks, Barry. Everybody just turned the radio off, the podcast off. Is 81% have trust that are engaged, trust their leaders. They trust them personally, and they trust them with their professional development, okay? And then it also said that 82% said that my engagement level is directly related to my immediate supervisor, to my immediate leader. So to those that you have influence with, what are you doing to develop them? What are you doing to pour into them? They trust you, and they say you're responsible for their engagement, not the CEO, not the vice president, it's their immediate supervisor. So we need to be providing development opportunities for these people because it's a huge differentiator between being engaged with the organization and being not. And so really take that into consideration and have that mindset when you're thinking about developing your team.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you all for joining. We're glad you're here. As a reminder, as Chris told you at the top of the broadcast, that you can find us at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. We'd love to hear from you there. Thank you very much. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.